Welcome to an encouraging message from Pastor Kenneth Bent, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Get into the Word of God here. My privilege to speak to you this evening. And before I get into the message that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart, I do want to share with you Proverbs 29:18. It was just came to me quite strongly during worship, and so I'm going to just go there for a moment. Proverbs 20:19 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Amen. Where there is no prophetic vision, of course, this word in Hebrew has to do with vision, but the specific word that's used here is referring to the revelation as it's contained in the Torah. And prophetic vision, it's like a word spoken to us from God. And the Bible says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They start doing whatever they want to. In other words, there's no vision to constrain their behavior or their likes, their dislikes. There's no vision to contain or constrain the potential for their future and everything that God's invested in them, because they have lost the vision of the Lord. And you remember the story of the kings where when there was revival in Israel, after they had gone away from the Lord, as we talked about a little bit last week, how Ahaz had led the people into idol worship and was setting up idols on every corner in Jerusalem and worshiping the false gods of other nations. And yet how Hezekiah, when his son came into rule, he began to lead the people in a more godly fashion. The story of Josiah, the king, tells us that they found the record of the book of the law and they brought it back and they began to read it and change their behavior and their comportment and their worship along to align themselves with God's great word. And so God's great word gives us purpose and gives us insight into how we should live our lives. His prophetic word, like we're hearing tonight in some ways, where AJ is giving us exhortation, and it has this prophetic, weighty nature to it. How many of you receive that word and those words of encouragement that come from the presence of the Lord? They really do. The Bible says you may all prophesy one by one that the church may receive edifying, right? And so it's good to have. And what is prophecy in the New Testament? Concept. Mostly, it's less about predicting the future and more about exhortation, edification, and comfort for the believers as we gather together. And then the Lord just impresses a word on somebody to give, and it could be just a simple exhortation from the Bible. It could be an anointed, spontaneous, excited, grace-filled word that encourages and lifts our hearts. Do not despise the day that God gives you these words or it gives you a word of encouragement to tell somebody. Don't just throw it away. Go and tell them. Go and write to them. Go and email somebody. Call them. Text them. Do something with what God has placed in your heart. You may all prophesy one by one that the church may receive edifying. Amen. And I've been encouraged this past week, and I'm sorry, I'm going to end up preaching a little extemporaneous this evening, but I was encouraged this past week, actually the last few weeks, that God was speaking to me about, listen, when you feel this sense of that you need to say something to somebody that's impressed on your heart by the Holy Spirit, the Lord's encouraged me to just do it. Just write them. Just, you know, if they're out of my territory, there's a couple of people in Canada. One is the head of the Fellowship of Christian Police Officers in Canada, and we helped design and produce, along with Shields of Strength and .27, some Shields of Strength specifically for their organization. and sent them to them, and they've been a great blessing to all the officers. But I just felt in my heart I should write him today. And then I read a testimony by one of the officers, how she had had a battle with cancer and how she's now cancer-free, and how she's writing a book about it. And I felt led to write her. She doesn't know me from Adam, but I felt led to write her and encourage her that what she had shared really touched my heart. You know, and listen, when you get a word from God on your heart, don't hesitate to give it, right? Of course, pray about it, you know, seek the Lord, get confirmation, get a peace in your heart, and God will show you what to do. But listen, don't hold back. Do not hold back when God's speaking through you and to you to encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews that so much more encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Amen. The day of the Lord, and especially in the last days, we are to encourage one another. I want to encourage you today to have a prophetic vision, to lift up your heart unto God in the heavens and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And if God just, if it's okay to be steady Freddy, right, at your job, and to show up at work and do a good job and go home and pay your bills and love your family, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But perhaps there's something in additional to life in the ordinary that God wants you to be involved with, right? Wants you to do that you're not involved with right now. Seek the Lord. You never know what God will say and what he will do through you and to be a blessing. Amen? Get a vision from God. Get a prophetic vision from God. And then you'll be walking on straight paths. You won't throw off restraint. If the vision should constrain you to do the will of God, amen. And so that kind of actually gives me a segue into the message. So thank you, Lord. So what does a prophetic vision do for you? And what do I mean by that? I mean, you go and you pray and you talk to the Lord and you say, Jesus, what do you want for my life? And I don't care whether you're 4 or you're 40 or you're 80, it's still time to seek the Lord. Amen? Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near, you know, and he will direct you. He will show you, amen, what to do. But the vision that God gives you will help to constrain your life, will help you to conform to his path and his plan. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be without hardship, difficulty, that it might not be arduous. But it will be the greatest joy of your life. And I dare to say that most of you are happy because you're serving Jesus, right? You're doing what the Lord put in your heart to do, and he gave you gifts and talents and education and whatever, and you're using it for his glory. The other day I was thanking God. I'm just going to just go ahead and talk about people if you don't mind. But I was thanking God for Darren and Susan and for their life of dedication to the purposes of God. I was thanking God the other day for Dean Brinkley, for thinking about how wonderful it is to have a godly attorney, amen, that's serving our community and helping and giving advice, and he shows up every week and teaches the Bible to a group of guys, you know? I mean, I thank God for that, right? I thank God for you. And all of you, no doubt, are at the very least serving God, doing the last thing he said to you, right? And that's what we ought to do. Keep doing the last thing God told you to do, you keep doing it, and then seek him for more. What else do you want me to do? What else do you want me to do? What else can I do? You get to my age, you start asking that a lot. What else can I do? But the vision should recalibrate our lives, right? It should constrain us to the purposes of God. Recalibration is what I want to talk to you about, and it's going to have to be fast. So last week we started with the book of James, and we talked about the importance of having your faith as an active faith, right? Show me your faith by your works, stuff that you do. Your faith should be obvious in terms of the work that you're doing for the kingdom of God. God's love was active. It was demonstrated to us in Christ, right? And then we quickly went through the Gospel of John and just looked at the different miracles. Jesus in action, right? Jesus in action. And the book of Hebrews, we talked a little bit about that and the importance of active faith in our lives as we compared the two kings, Ahaz and Hezekiah. Well, this week I want to continue in the Gospel of John and just look at how the love of Jesus recalibrated, prepared, and then launched his disciples into their future. His disciples had a future. It wasn't going to be easy. They all ended up being martyrs, except probably the Apostle John. Jesus even told Peter, you know, after the resurrection, he said, Peter, you know, there's going to come a day they're going to take you where you don't want to go, and they're going to do stuff to you don't want them to do. He was telling Peter, 30 years later, Peter was martyred. Jesus was honest with him, amen? But that vision and purpose helped to constrain Peter. So what do I mean by recalibration? It means to determine, rectify, standardize, like a measuring instrument, determining the deviation from a standard. It means to adjust precisely for a particular function. Jesus wants to recalibrate us. I think more often than we think. I think Jesus wants to recalibrate us more often than we think so that we exercise active faith. David had a need to be recalibrated. He, in Psalm 73, he was looking at all the prosperity of the wicked. And I've loved this psalm since I was a kid. God indeed is good to Israel, to the pure in heart. But as for me, my heart, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly went away, for I envied the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have an easy time until they die, and their bodies are well fed. Boy, David is pouring himself out to the Lord, isn't he? You know, in some ways, I think that's what made David somewhat successful, because he was honest with God, right? Not lacking faith, but honest nonetheless in what he was struggling with. And he goes on, the psalm goes on and on and on. And finally, in verse 17, he says, when I tried to understand all this, it seemed hopeless until I entered God's sanctuary. Then I understood their destiny. God recalibrates us and will recalibrate you if you let him when you come to church. When you exercise your worship unto the Lord, don't be surprised that he's recalibrating your heart. Amen. Readjusting your vision. Everybody needs to go to the eye doctor every so often, right? Most of us do, unless you're just extra blessed. You have to recalibrate. Get another exam. Jesus wants to recalibrate us, and one of the best things you can do to recalibrate the things that make you wonder, the questions you have about why the wicked prosper, about why things seem to be going bad, about why there doesn't seem to be justice in the world, about why calamity happens in the world, why earthquakes happen, why evil people get away with doing bad things, why do these things happen? You need to go to the house of God. When you go to the house of God and you spend time in the Lord's presence, he will recalibrate you if you let him. N.T. Wright, in his book, Simply Christian, seeks to show how Christianity effectively provides answers for some of the deepest questions and problems of life. He also deals with some of these similar questions in his book, Broken Signposts, as well as in his Gifford lectures from a few years ago. Wright notes that it seems as if most of humanity has a longing for justice, a quest for spirituality, a hunger for relationships, and a delight in beauty. Four basic hungers of mankind, so to speak. A longing for justice. You want things to be made right, right? A quest for spirituality. We hunger and thirst after God. Even ungodly people sometimes hunger and thirst after God and may not even understand why they have this recurrent gnawing in their heart. We hunger for relationships. We value love and kindness and sharing. And we love beauty. Paul says something similar in his speech and preaching to the philosophers on Mars Hill in Acts 17, where he essentially answers the four basic questions of philosophy. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? And what should we do? How should we live? Tonight, we're going to take another brief tour through the Gospel of John, and I've got to hurry, to see how Jesus' faith in action fixes the deepest needs of the human heart and prepares us for a better future in service in the kingdom of God. Jesus' love recalibrates the lives of people. The first, and this involves looking at what many scholars look at, the seven signs in the Gospel of John. There's a little bit of variance as to what they think are the seven miracle signs. John identifies this sign Jesus did, and there are seven of them. And of course, there's many, many deep things in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 2, we see Jesus turning water into wine. We read about it a couple Mondays ago. And Jesus turns water into wine. What happened? Well, basically, there were broken expectations, right? And Jesus is the one who heals our disappointments. The miracle is defined in the gospel as one of the signs that Jesus did. We can only speculate why there wasn't enough wine for all the guests at the wedding. Maybe they were too poor. They simply didn't have the money. It's possible. They couldn't afford it. Maybe they were unprepared. Too many guests showed up. Some of you have had that happen at dinner time. Jeff and Tina, no doubt. Especially in the early days when the young adults were meeting. These wedding hosts, the families, were no doubt well-intended, but they lacked resources. That can be depressing for both the families and the newlyweds, right? At his mother's behest, Jesus blesses these families. He turns potential mourning into dancing and gives a garment of praise in the place of the spirit of heaviness. Amen? He demonstrates the full abundance of his ultimate wedding feast, which I think is one of the reasons for the sign. Jesus is pointing ahead. Listen, you guys, you know, on earth you might lack here and now, but one day in my kingdom, when the fullness of the kingdom has come, we're going to have an amazing dinner and nobody will go hungry. Amen? Amen? Amen. And right now, Jesus is serving up a banquet of righteousness, goodness, and faith, and love, and kindness, and justice for all who will come to him. They'll just bring their broken hearts to him. He will give you a new banquet. Amen? He will give you what you need and plenty of it. So how will we use our active faith? Here's a question for all of us. How will we use our active faith to heal broken expectations and recalibrate people? What will you do to help somebody recalibrate their faith? In John 3, we have Nicodemus coming, and he has broken understanding. He suffers from religious hindrances, Nicodemus' lack of understanding about true life instead of religious practices. He might have been overconfident. He came at night. He was certainly afraid of a loss of social status. But Jesus gives him the truth. If we have active faith, we should tell people the truth. You need Jesus in your life. You should repent. Just come to Jesus. He will help you. Amen? And not hold back. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord your God is with you. Amen. Let the vision of the Lord constrain your heart to exercise active faith to encourage people. And then Jesus challenges him to be born again. Active faith loves people at their lowest point. Remember that. Active faith loves people at their lowest point. Somebody that has broken your expectation of them. Somebody that has performed lower than you actually thought that they would. Who has acted unrighteously. Maybe they're a believer and they've messed up. But active faith goes and seeks to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tried. Amen? So John 4, then, we see broken worship. The woman at the well, she's the social pariah of the little towns in Samaria. But Jesus recalibrated her life to a life of true worship in spirit and truth. Those who worship the Father, there'll come a day. Those who worship the Father will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not about the physical temple. It's not about your religious idea. It's not about whether or not I'm a prophet or not. It's whether or not you will serve me and serve the Lord in true worship. He invites her to come to the true temple, which is Jesus himself. John in 1:14 says, and the word was made flesh, was eskenosen. He was tented, tabernacled among us. Amen. And so he invites her to come. Listen, just lay it all down. I know. You've had four husbands. The guy you're living with ain't your husband. Not sure Jesus said ain't, but you know. But he challenged her. And she says, this is amazing to me. I've got like a whole 3 minutes. This is amazing to me. Jesus talks to her, tells her some things by his literally prophetic insight, and she decides she's going to believe him. So she runs back to her village and she says to them, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. You know what's sad about that? Her life was wrapped up in everything she had done and was doing, but she didn't have life at all. She just thought she had life. And Jesus changed her and tweaked her and recalibrated her to become a true worshiper. And she says, come and meet him. Surely this is Messiah, right? John 4, we have the official's son. He traveled 20 miles to go find Jesus to ask him. Surely this was broken dreams. The problem of evil. How can there be evil? How can my son? I'm a good man. I'm a solid man in the community. I have resources. I have influence. I have authority. His unfortunate heir was about to die. Talk about broken dreams. Have you ever had broken dreams? I want to encourage you. If you know somebody with broken dreams, would you reach out to them? And in God's love, recalibrate them, reorient them, point them towards Jesus, pray with them, and then take them to Jesus. Broken bodies, John 5, guy 38 years as a lame man, probably caused by his own sin, because Jesus tells him after he's healed, go and don't sin anymore, don't do this. Something happened to him probably as a result of his own sin. Jesus recalibrates him, heals him, and gives him new purpose. John 6, broken supply. Jesus gives so much from so little for so many. How will we use our active faith to heal and recalibrate broken understandings, broken worship, social pariahs, broken dreams, broken bodies, broken resources, broken callings, and superficial commitments? Jesus' actions are all born out of a loving relationship with his heavenly Father. He said, the things I do, I can't do. It's what I see the Father doing. The Father who loves me shows me what he's going to do, and that's what I do. Do you love him enough to where the Spirit of God can speak to you that he loves you through? He loves people through you, and the way that you're sensitive to it is by your relationship with the Lord. Active faith, Galatians tells us, works by love. It's beautiful. Missionary Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, the founder of Samaritan's Purse, said, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. Jesus fixed Peter. He recalibrated him. I'm going to quit with this. John 21. You know, Peter says, after the resurrection, he says, I'm going fishing. Guys follow him. He gets out. They fish all night, can't catch anything. Jesus is on the shore. He's already prepared a fire for them. He says, cast your net on the other side. So they do it. Up come the fish. John says, it's the Lord. Peter gets out, wades his way, swims his way to shore. And Jesus, you know, says, come on, you guys, come and eat. And Jesus starts talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, he's recalibrating. He says, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. He says it again. Do you love me? You know I love you. Tend my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Why does Jesus do that? Because Peter had denied him. Peter had, in fact, chopped off the guy's ear. Peter had demonstrated stuff that wasn't too much like Jesus. Swore and cursed that he didn't know him. Surely you were with him. You're a Galilean. I don't know him. Blankety blank blank. You know? What's Jesus doing? He's recalibrating him. He's repurposing his life. He's saying, Peter, I sure do love you. I'm going to show you what my Father wants. Just look after my sheep. And as they're walking along, Peter looks back and he sees what is probably John and says, well, what about him? And Jesus says, then he tells them, they're going to take you where you want to, don't want to go. They're going to do things. Peter, what about him? Jesus says, if I want him to remain until I come back, what is that to you? And he emphatically in Greek is, you follow me. In other words, he's recalibrating him. Forget about what everybody else is supposed to do in this context, right? I mean, not that we forget about each other and just go on without loving and bringing people along. I'm not saying that. But Peter needed to concentrate on following Jesus. And that's the beauty of it. Jesus recalibrated him by giving him a recommissioning and reinstituting him to apostolic ministry. Jesus was getting him ready for 30 years of successful, amazing, but yet difficult ministry and a difficult death, yet all for the glory of God. So what can we do with our active faith? Let's reach out to people. Let's be aware of each other in the congregation. Let's find people that are not quite there. Let's teach them. Let's instruct them. Let's give people vision for their life beyond just the ordinary, everyday, day in, day out work. The kingdom is better and bigger than that. May the Lord give us prophetic vision so that we run wholeheartedly into the plan and purpose of God. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for that powerful word from Pastor Kenneth Bent. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive many more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.